got your Bibles, I want you to turn in Hebrews 12 with me. Let's look at verse 5. Hebrews 12 and 5. I want the Lord to speak to us today. I really, really do. What I have is very, very important. It's eye-opening to us all. Hebrews 12:5. And I'd like to teach today how God deals with man. Keep your place right there. How God deals with man. Before I start reading, in this lesson today, I'm going to be dealing with how God in different ways deals with man to draw his soul to him. God's got avenues. God's got ways of getting our attention.
Yeah.
Now listen, before I start, we have all wondered and asked the question many times, why do bad things happen to good people? We don't have that answer.
That's right.
But God knows all. He sees all. He sees way out in the head of us.
Yes.
God's ways are higher than our ways.
Right.
But I will say this. We may have our trials down here in this world. But if you live for the Lord and serve Him, you don't have to worry about your afterlife.
Right.
Hallelujah to God.
Right.
There will be no pain or sorrow in heaven.
Right.
Suffering and sickness cannot enter. You'll never hear bad news up there. There will be no broken hearts in God's holy city.
Right.
There will be no tragedies and no losses up there, Brother George.
Right.
When you enter heaven's gate, nothing bad can ever follow.
Right.
When a child of God enters that celestial city, they will forever be in the presence of the Lord in everlasting joy and peace forevermore. I want to ask you before I start this lesson, do you know Jesus?
Yes.
Are you serving Him?
Yes.
Does He live in your heart?
Yes.
Can you say from your heart today before I start, dear God, would you get a hold of my attention? Would you draw me to you, closer to you? I don't want to miss heaven, and I don't want to lose my soul.
Amen.
Draw me, God. Hallelujah. We're going to go somewhere today. I feel like the Lord's going to help us. Hebrews 12 and 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, that goes for daughter too, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord.
Bless him, Lord.
Don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Listen, when God reproves you, when he rebukes you for something, don't grow weary and faint. He's doing it because he loves you.
Amen.
When he's correcting you, don't let the devil hop on your back and discourage you and tell you that God does not love you.
Right.
Don't let him tell you that you've been too bad or you've done too much to be forgiven and be saved.
Right.
The devil will try to get you to give up on yourself also and to get you to quit.
Amen.
When God bears his arm and when God uses the rod of punishment, when he does that to get our attention, it's because he's trying to draw us and keep us out of trouble, keep us from missing the will of God. The Lord is a working on you to make you a better person. He's a working on your heart and your will on the inside. He's a working on your character to make you a better person. How many knows God is the potter and we are the clay? The Lord is never nearer to the clay than when he's a squeezing it
and putting pressure up on it to mold it, to make something beautiful. Why don't we put ourselves in His hand and say, mold me, dear Lord. Here's my life. Work on me and make a good vessel out of me. Dear Jesus, I want to be more like You, to have Your righteousness, to have Your holiness, and to have Your love in my life. Work on me, Lord. Hallelujah. If You have to rebuke me or reprove me or correct me, Lord, let me have a better nature on the inside of me. Let me do what's right. Give me a good character. Give me a good nature, Lord. Look at verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, whom He what? Whom He loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Notice these two strong Greek words. Chasteneth and scourgeth means to whip and to flog, to convict and punish by inflicting pain in order to turn people around and stop them from going the wrong way and doing the wrong things. I would want God to stop me from going into everlasting fire, wouldn't you? Stop me, Lord, if You have to. Put a roadblock in front of me, Jesus, and correct me, God, when I'm doing wrong. The Lord does not want to lose one precious soul. Not even one soul of a sinner or a backslider. He does not want to lose one of His children to sin and the devil. To keep you out of hell, He'll shake you. He'll shake you up. And if He has to, Brother George, He'll bring us flat on our back. He'll bring you down to get you to look up. God's got a way of sending old time Holy Ghost fear of God in your life. He'll let you hang by a thread over the pit of hell. He'll let you come face to face with destruction to get you to wake up. God wants our conscience to be awake on the inside.
Amen.
I want to see when I'm going wrong, Lord.
Amen.
I want to realize when I'm doing wrong and when I'm acting wrong. God, show me and correct me, God. I don't want to miss it. Hallelujah.
You're right,
brother. Oh, God. To keep you out of hell, He'll shake you and He'll wake you and He'll bring you down. If He has to, He'll let you face the jaws of death. Even come face to face with destruction. He'll let destruction stare you right in the face to awaken your soul to the fear of God so that you'll repent of your sins and your wrongs. He does it to get you to serve Him and obey Him and live right.
That's right.
Dear soul, God does not want you to end up in hell in everlasting torment. He wants you saved and in heaven.
Glory to God.
God uses different avenues to get to your heart, to awaken you to your need for salvation. He'll use afflictions and tragedies and losses. He'll bring you down to the point that you feel like you're hanging by a thread to get you to look up and surrender your life to Him and serve Him. Oh God,
come on.
I stand before You all today teaching for my blessed Lord. He gave me this yesterday, and I've wept and I've cried. God has brought me a mighty long way. I stand here before You in because of the mercy and the grace of God.
Come on.
I did not get her overnight. I've learned by trial and error. When Jesus saved me, I fell flat on my face many times. Come short of the glory of God.
But there was one element that kept me, and that is the fear of God down in my heart.
Thank you, blessed Lord.
Listen, when I fell and I went low, I got back up and I said, God, with all that's within me, I know I ain't worthy, but if you'll forgive me and you wash me, Jesus, I'll try my best to do better.
Come on, brother.
I snubbed my nose, I skinned my knees, I cut up and I brushed myself off, and I'll say heaven will be worth it, all dear Lord, to go there. Hallelujah. When you falter, when you fail, when you make a mistake, get back up and say, Jesus, down in my heart, I want to do what's right, Lord. I want to serve you and love you. Would you forgive me? And God is right there to forgive you. Hallelujah. I am, oh God, I am what I am. Paul said, by the grace of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Listen, I want you to know, my mom and my dad's prayers brought me to Jesus. How many knows you've had somebody praying for you along the way? Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Nothing went right with my mommy and my daddy raised me in a Christian home. 20 years of age, their prayers went up to God, saying, God, get a hold of his attention. Lord, turn him and bring him to you. Hallelujah. And I want you to know, when Holy Ghost conviction gets a hold of you, nothing went right in my life. Everything was falling apart. I was empty and I was broken. That is the avenue to God. It was God's Holy Ghost convicting power that got a hold of my heart. I had to come down in order to look up. I got to where I could not even stand myself any longer. It got so bad that I got sick of the way that I was living, and I was ready for a change. I wanted the change. I'm here to tell you, until you get sick and tired of the way you're living, and tired of the misery, and tired of the unhappiness, there'll never be a change in your life. I realized the day that God had something better for me. I'm telling you, it is joy unspeakable, and it's full of glory. And this good salvation, it'll put something inside of you. It'll turn your life all around. And you raise your hand today and say, thank God for my loved ones, and thank God for the church that prayed for me, and it brought old time Holy Ghost conviction. It woke me up. It shook me up. And I saw my lost condition, and I said, Jesus, the world ain't got my answer. It ain't got my happiness. And I never will forget that night. Dead on bended knees, I found heaven, and I found the joy of the Lord. Raise your hand and love him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
Get a hold of us, God. Get a hold of us. Jesus, believe me, in my 50 years plus years of being in church and serving the Lord, I've heard testimonies of good saints that said, I was away from the Lord and God sent a wake-up call. And it scared me to death.
No.
Come on, brother.
There's a reason I'm teaching this.
Come on, brother. Bless him, Lord.
When I was away from the Lord, God sent me a wake-up call that I could not deny.
That's right.
And it scared me to death.
Blessed be God.
I realized then that I was lost. Death and destruction was on my heels. And I called on God, please, God, save me. The Lord had his way of persuading me. I've heard him testify. God had his way of persuading me. And I repented. And I told him that I was sorry. I gave him my life to serve and obey. Can I say today, here before you all, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God.
Right. Come on, brother.
God will do everything.
That's right. Amen.
He'll bend over backwards. He'll reach as far as he can reach.
You're right, bro.
To get a hold of that soul.
Mercy, Lord.
Give him a wake-up call.
Right.
What will it take to wake up the slumbering soul that's in sin? What will it take to get a hold of that backslider that's went back out in the world and has lived for years and years and years, went back in sin? What will it take to awaken them and shake them up? What will it take to get a hold of our lost family members? Oh God, would you reach, Lord? I pray that God would stir them in their dreams of a night. I would pray that God somehow would throw a roadblock in front of them and let them see just how close they came to death. Could have left out of this world without God and went into hell.
Right, brother.
Amen.
Send a wake up call, God.
Yes.
God's a shaking.
Right.
He'll use circumstances. He'll let you get in situations that you can't see any way out whatsoever. You think you'll die right there. And that's what wakes people up to say, I need God right now more than I've ever needed Him.
Hallelujah be to God.
Holy, 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 holy.
Thank you.
Come on.
Can I say here today, it's a fearful thing to be on the devil's turf and walking on unholy ground.
That's right.
It's a dangerous thing to live in this world.
Oh, yeah.
It's scary to flirt with the world.
Right.
Right.
It's spooky out there on the devil's ungodly ground.
Right.
When you're on the ground with the serpents, God ain't anywhere around.
Yeah.
Come on, come on, come on. You're playing with your very life and your very future.
Yeah.
Holy Lord. It's scary to be out of God's will because you realize that anything can happen.
Yes.
Without Jesus, you have no solid ground to stand on.
That's right.
God has sent wake-up calls to many. Not just once. Not twice. Not three times. But more than that.
That's right.
But people have ignored the wake-up call. They push God aside and continued their own way. And now, after years of rejecting God, they're suffering horrible, broken lives. And many are no longer with us today. They're gone into eternity, lost. And the saddest part of it all, they didn't have to. God was reaching out His hand to them the whole time.
That's right, bro.
How many times have you invited somebody to church and they said, I'll go and I'll be there Thursday night. You come and you pick me up and I'll go with you Sunday. And they would promise you they would come. But somehow the world got a hold of their attention and they forgot the need of their soul. I'm telling you, we're living in an hour. People does not fear God. It's appointed that a man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. You don't have any promise. When you leave outside of those doors, you can face death head on around the next curve in life's road. Can I tell everybody today, I take heed. Hey, Lord, take heed. God's trying to get a hold of your attention and to wake you up and to get you to see the need of your eternal soul. God don't want you lost.
Yes.
God don't want you lost. He's trying to wake us up.
Come on, brother.
Oh. Amen.
I'm telling you, people have went. They've had wrecks.
Come on.
They totaled vehicles. They rolled them. And I know we have a precious little princess in heaven. And we know where she's at.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, we don't understand things. But God will send wake-up calls to get people to look up to Him, to serve Him.
Amen.
Oh, God. People's come to the Lord on their deathbed. And I'm going to tell you, that's a dangerous thing to do if you wait to your deathbed.
Right.
They'll say, my uncle made it, and he repented. He was right there dying of cancer, and he repented in the hospital. We went there, and we prayed for him. You don't have a promise, my friend.
Right.
If God deals with your heart and you keep a rejecting head, you harden your heart, your soul to Him, you might not have a chance. You spend your years in sin and you come down and say, I'll just call on God anytime I want to. I want you to know Jesus said, no man can come unto me except my Father draw him. You can't just come to God anytime. You've got to see your need and the Holy Ghost is dealing with your heart. And many people have shoved the Spirit of God out of their life.
Come on, you're right. Come on, bro.
Oh, God. God has sent wake-up calls to many. Pushed it aside.
Yes.
Bad things has happened to them.
That's cool.
It still didn't stir them.
That's right.
I want to give you a true testimony today. And I know this man personally. Been in church with him, worshiped. Listen to this. The testimony of Glenn Cole. I personally knew this man very well. I have heard his testimony over and over. I have been in numerous church services with him. His precious mother and dad and him are all three present with the Lord now in heaven.
Yes.
But it sure wasn't without a price. His dad, Cecil, and his mother, Ruth, they went to Sam Pennington's church in Portsmouth, Ohio.
Yes.
Their son, Glenn, was a backslider on the Lord. His mom and his dad kept telling him, Glenn, you need to get back to God. Glenn, you better get back to the Lord, son. He ignored them. They would tell him again and pray and say, Glenn, son, get back in church. He stayed out in sin for years. This was many, many years ago. Glenn received a wake-up call from God. He drove an old-time milk truck, one of those where you stood up to drive and the door stayed open. One day, going down the road, he lost control of the truck. It went off the side of the road and flipped on its side. It rolled over on its side and it pinned Glenn under it, severely breaking and mangling his neck. It almost killed him. It left him with continual pain day and night in his neck that sometimes was almost unbearable.
Right.
He played the electric guitar in church. Listen, I remember that it was all he could do to come to church because he hurt so bad. When he did, we would gather around Glenn and anoint him and pray that God would ease the pain so that he could play the guitar and sing.
Right.
He would hurt so bad that he would tear up and groan, saying, you all pray for me. I'm hurting so bad. Although he prayed and got back to God and was saved, his pain and scar of rebellion followed him. And he went to the grave, a tortured man. And it could have all been avoided. Can I tell us, everyone here today, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Yes.
I want to tell you, our God in his great mercy will use circumstances to speak to your soul and draw you to him. Do you know why? Because
because he loves you, and he don't want you to die lost and go to a devil's hell. Raise your little hand and say, thank God for the wake up calls. Thank God for the old time Holy Ghost conviction. Old Glenn went to the grave in pain. I'm telling you, when you turn God away, you'll come back to God, but you might carry the scars and the pain of it. I'm telling everybody in this house, fear God and stay with him. Stay with him, boys. Love him and serve him. Don't let the world get a hold of you. Raise your hand and say, God, I'm going to stay with you.
Lord, I'm going to stay with you, Lord.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is the God.
Oh, Jesus.
To those who have drawn cold in your soul and you wandered away from the Lord, you better run back to him.
Yes.
Run back to him. Run back to him. Jeremiah, listen. 2:19. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Oh, God. And thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Oh,
hallelujah, Jesus.
Mercy, Lord.
Mercy.
Look at verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, if I let you go and don't correct you, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. That means that you are illegitimate. That means that you don't belong to God. And if you don't belong to God, you are a child of the devil, and Satan owns you. You're on his ground. You're under his control and in his rule. I know that I belong to God. How many in this house today can say, I know what I feel, and I know that it's really real, and he lives inside of my heart. I belong to the Lord. I am a child of the God. I used to be a child of sin, a child of the devil, but I'm glad I dropped him a long time ago, and I came unto the Lord. My eyes were open, and I made Jesus my Savior. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Look at verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, that's our earthly daddies, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather, be as in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?
Yes.
I want you all to know today, I feared and respected my dad when I was growing up.
That's right.
I sure did. He loved me, and I knew it.
Yes.
I knew it and felt it, and I loved my daddy. But listen, but I was afraid to disobey him.
That's
right.
That's right.
I feared his belt. Lord have mercy. I told Marius today or yesterday, I said, when Dad got angry, Lord have mercy. You've never looked into eyes like my dad's eyes. I mean, fire shot out of him. And he corrected me. Whoa, Lord, that look he gave me and that belt wrapping around me and around me and around me. I respected my daddy. You know why I did? Because he wasn't torturing me and tormenting me and doing it because he hated me. But when it was all said and done, I knew Dad did that for my sake and for my good. Raise your hand and
love. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
He did it because he loved me.
That's right, bro.
He looked into my future and wanted me to be blessed.
That's right.
He would correct me and he hurt. But Lord, he was a looking out for me and he wanted to be well with my soul.
That's right.
My gracious sakes alive. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Mommy twist my ear. Pull my hair, son. She gave me a smack or two. Really, that didn't get it. It took more than that. I knew I had been corrected.
Oh, yeah.
Lord have mercy. But when Dad told me to do something after that, it put something in here,
mm-hmm.
in here that I wanted to respect my daddy.
That's right.
He was doing it because he loved me.
Amen.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Blessed be God.
I had the most loving dad that anyone could ever have. Some of you know him. He's been right here in this church. He used to come with us.
Yeah.
There was no hug like the one that Dad gave me.
Right.
Bless his heart.
Yes.
He spent time with me, Brother George, when I was growing up, and we did many things together, and oh, how much fun I had, Daddy and me, my daddy and me. But you know how kids are, they sometimes bend the rules and see how far they can go,
mm-hmm.
delving into things that they shouldn't be.
Right.
When Dad saw me going outside of the boundary of his teachings, he knew he had to correct me. You know why? Because he didn't want me to mess my life up and my future. And that's when he had to instill the fear of God down in my heart.
Yes.
Yeah. I can honestly say I am what I am today because of Christian parents that taught me and raised me right.
Yes.
And I appreciate everybody in this house. You got kids and you correct them and you love them,
yes.
because you don't want anything bad to happen to them. Oh God, I'm dealing with God's chastening and his ways of dealing with us. Can I ask you all something today? Do you all know why that we live in an evil, hate-filled society that is out of control? Can anybody tell me? Why there is no respect for others?
Come on.
Huh? No respect for parents?
That's right. Come on.
Do you know why there is no fear of God? It's because there is no discipline in the home.
You're right.
There is no correction in the home. Kids are turned loose to do as they please. When the home is out of kelter, it bleeds into and affects the whole church.
Right, amen.
Raise your hand and praise him and say, amen, preacher. Amen, teacher.
Come on, brother.
Oh, God. The church and God's people suffer when there's no fear and respect in the home.
Right.
Correct us, Lord. Correct me. Would somebody correct me?
Bless him, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on, brother. The truth.
Look at verse 10. For they, talking about our earthly fathers, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure to get us to do what they wanted us to do. But he chastened us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Do you know why that God whips and corrects us? Anybody tell me?
Come on, bro.
To keep us in line.
Exactly. It's because sin cannot, and rebellion cannot enter into heaven.
That's right.
He has to get that out of us. Listen, the whole purpose of God's chastity and his scourging is to make you clean. make you whole.
That's right.
To get the world and its sinful lusts and all of its habits out of you. So that we'll be righteous to enter God's holy heaven.
Amen.
I want to be righteous. I want to be clean. Only the pure in heart shall see God.
Thank you. Bless the Lord.
We've got a whole world of deceived people all around us, Brother George. They'll say, hey, we're all right. They'll tell you, we're Christians. We can live any way we want. We can act and do what we want to do.
That's true.
And we're all right. And we're all going to heaven.
Come on.
No, you ain't. Unless you've been born again.
That's right.
And unless you've been saved and washed in the blood of Jesus and had his righteousness on the inside of you, no unclean thing can go into heaven. You cannot go there with sin and rebellion in your life.
You're right. Amen.
God help us, Lord. Proverbs 30 and 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet are not washed from their filthiness. We're all right in our own eyes. We can do what we want to do. God's just saying, no, you can't.
That's right.
Luke 13 and 22. Jesus went through the cities and the villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Listen now. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. That is a narrow gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Strive here means that you're putting all of your strength and your effort into serving God through all of your difficulties to make heaven your home. Can you say today, Lord, I'm a fighting and I'm a striving to love you and to serve you so I can go to your holy heaven. I want to be ready and I want to be worthy. Can I tell you, people can get their eyes on this world. They can get them on their unsaved family members and others around them to the point that they get out of the will of God. And that's when the Lord has to step in and to stop them and bring them back. God help us today.
Yes.
Glory to God.
You cannot get your eyes on people. They'll lead you astray.
It's true.
Yes.
Because the church down the road does it, that don't mean it's right.
Yeah.
No. Loved ones, family can do this. Go here. Go to the things of the world and delve in it. And they say we're all right. We're Christians. That don't make it right.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Amen.
I want to tell you, everybody today, your backsliding, when you back up and get out of the will of God, it does not just affect you.
Right.
It causes hardships.
Come on, brother.
In moms, dads, family members, and those around them, when you get out of the will of God. Come on.
That's right.
When you go and delve into things that are bad.
That's right. Come on.
It affects the whole family. A whole family can suffer over one disobedient soul.
Right.
Amen. Stay with it. Don't let me lose you.
Come on.
Bless him, Lord.
Look at verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Lord have mercy. No. But it's grievous. Grievous means that when God steps in to correct you, sometimes it's with much pain and it hurts. He'll bring you down to get you to look up. Scripture goes on to say, nevertheless, after the chastening, afterward, after God gets done scourging you and correcting you, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto you.
That's right. Amen.
If you claim to be a born-again Christian, God wants you living right.
Yes.
He demands holiness in your character, your dress, your walk, your talk, and your actions.
Right.
If you do not portray Jesus in your daily living, then you're none of His.
Right.
If your life has not changed and you like the same old things of this world, you like its old sinful desires and lusts, its sinful habits and pleasures, you're not saved.
Right, brother. Amen.
How many loves the Lord here today?
Amen.
How many loves me?
Amen.
Still loving?
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's the truth.
Give me truth, Jesus. Give me truth, Lord. I take Brother George up here taking them prayer requests and everything. I said, I told him before service, I said, will you take prayer requests? Yeah, I will. He gets up here and talks about the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's joy in serving Jesus. You know why? Because God brought him a long, long way. Hallelujah to the Lord. He put something down in his soul, something that isn't keeping him. It's real. Sandy, this thing is real. Raise your little hand. Just give him a wave off in the house. It's real. It's real. It's real. It's something, God, I know I can feel. Hallelujah. I'm glad, Brother Anthony, God has corrected me over and over and over. I'm glad He's chastened me, scourged me, whipped me, flogged me. Thank God it's brought me nearer unto Him. Can you say, Lord, if there's anything in my life that's not pleasing to You, would You help me to get it out of here, God?
Right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
You have to correct me and whip me, Lord. Let me be willing. Come on. One preacher preached a long time ago. He said, God is able to make you willing to be willing. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Willing, Lord, to serve You. I'm willing to go the right way. I don't want... Hallelujah, I don't want to go against the grain. I want it to go right with me and smooth with me.
Yes. Man.
There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Look at verse 12 as we get ready to close. Wherefore, because of all of this that I have said above, that's what wherefore means. Lift up your heads, your hands, lift up your hands. Which hang down, and your feeble knees. In other words, it's time to get up, straighten up, and do what's right.
Amen.
Verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Can I tell you, God wants to heal us?
That's right.
Many people are strong physically and mentally and spiritually. They are lame inside and they need a healing. God does not want you turned out of the way. The Lord cried out to His backsliding children through the prophet Jeremiah, return you backsliding children and I will heal your backsliding.
Yes.
Follow peace with all men and holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Oh, God. Thank You, Lord. You want to come and get a song here today? Let's everybody in the house stand.
Hallelujah be to God. Thank You, Lord.
The God of heaven loves us, Brother George.
Amen.
He wants to make us better.
That's right.
And to live closer to Him. He's getting ready to come. We could face God. If the rapture don't happen, we could die before sun up in the morning. We don't have a promise of tomorrow. Can we gather around now and say, God, work on me? And if I need corrected in any way, would You show me, Jesus, where I'm coming up short? What I'm doing that might not be pleasing to You? Would You correct me, God? and show me what's in my life that might be drawing me away from you. Or maybe this thing I have in me that I'm doing, Lord, maybe it's keeping me from getting closer to you. Can we pray that today and say, oh, God, I'm being honest in my heart. I want to make heaven my home, and I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss heaven. Come on, let's pray. Everybody find a place to pray. Jesus, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to pay the price, God, of being out of your will. I don't want to carry the scars, dear God, of your chastening. But I want it to be well with me and well with my soul. Come on, come on, let's pray.
If there's
anything, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I
thank you. yes, God.